The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
This is the Clare Byrne Show on News Talk. Jonathan Healy in the hot seat this morning. You can contact us 087 1400 106 for WhatsApp. You can email us directly, clarebyrne@newstalk.com. Daffodil Day is this week in aid of the Irish Cancer Society. It's their biggest fundraising drive of the year that provides an incredible amount of support for people who are on that particular journey. And every 3 minutes, someone in Ireland hears three life-changing words. You've got cancer. One in two of us will get cancer in our lifetime. Just think about that. If you're in a car with someone else, and I don't want to make it morbid, but one in two of you will probably get that news. It used to be one in three. So that just means that we're living longer and the likelihood of something like this happening is increased. And it always impacts people in different ways. And it's not always older people. And I'm delighted to say I am joined in studio by a former League of Ireland legend. Hope you don't mind me calling you that, Colin. Colin Hawkins. Colin, when did you get the news?
Yeah, so it was January 2023, John. Then obviously a big shock to the system. I had a few pains for a couple of months and I went and pressed. I needed this checked and that checked, and they thought it was a viral infection. They thought it was a follow on from COVID, etc. But anyway, I knew it was more than that myself, because I had a lot of pains and it was moving around in my body. Anyway, long story short, Friday the 13th, never forget it. In January, I went down and pushed for an MRI scan in Galway, and then very quickly came back. He had a cancer, and I'd never obviously heard of multiple myeloma, didn't know anything about it, but within a couple of days I was all over, so I was nearly an expert on it within a few days. So yeah, it's been a three-year journey. It's been tough going.
You were 46 years of age at the time. To be told that, what went through your mind at that moment?
Do you know, there was maybe a little bit of relief, because I knew there was something going on, because I was in so much pain. And that Christmas I'd been up in Monaghan with Elaine's parents. We always go up to Monaghan, and I was in an awful lot of pain. I couldn't even go for a walk up. So I knew there was something going on. Did I think it was cancer? Absolutely not. I just wanted to get to the bottom of what is this viral infection. But when you hear them words, it's a big shock. But I've always been a very positive person, and straight away I was like, okay, this is what you've told me what it is. I was literally put in on bed rest in a neck brace, because they said my neck was about to break with the damage that was there in all my bones. So them few hours and that 2 days over that weekend was very scary, because they were scanning everything. So I was thinking, when lying in my bed, I was thinking, is this spread all over the place? You know, you think the worst. But then come Monday, Tuesday, a few days later, they're telling you, right, we know what it is. You've got tumours all over your back and your neck and that. But this is a treatment. This is a cancer. There's no cure for it, but there is treatments, and they're ever improving. So straight away, you get into positive mode and you're said, right, what do we do next to tackle this? And they told me my treatment plan. That was kind of 6 months of really strong chemotherapy leading up to a stem cell transplant then in July. So at least I had a plan. And then it was a case of, right, staying positive. Ringing my wife was probably the toughest part, because the three kids, they were up in Dublin at the time. I'd gone down to Galway.
How do you explain it to three kids? Because they're small kids.
Yeah, it was difficult. You know, they were a good age as well. They were, at the time, they were, what, 15, 13 and 9 or 10. So, you know, it was very tough telling them. Obviously, telling Elaine, because she's a big worrier. She's a psychiatric nurse herself. So, you know, but telling her was really difficult. I knew she'd take it tougher than I did. So that was a difficult phone call. I have a lot of family in Galway. So two sisters came in straight away to me in the hospital. Emma and Barbara, who were unbelievable support for that whole time I was in Galway. So they came in. And straight away, I knew I had that support around me straight away. But telling the kids, that time when we sat down with the kids, and then later on we had to repeat that when Elaine got sick, it was really, really tough on them. But again, I always go back to their school friends and sport and everything that has kept them. If they didn't have all that stuff, they probably would have spent more time Googling and worrying about stuff. But when they've been so busy and active, I just told them, listen, let's just put our trust in the doctors and the hospital.
Dr. Google is a nightmare. Yeah. Did you go down any rabbit holes?
Well, I had to check it out, because I'd never heard of it, multiple myeloma. I didn't know what it was. It sounded like multiple. I didn't know what is this about. I'd have heard about multiple sclerosis, but I had to check it out. You find out it's the second most common blood cancer. First thing is you read is there's no cure for it. So obviously you're thinking, right, I'm panicking here. But I do know now, had I been diagnosed with multiple myeloma maybe 10 years ago, I was in serious bother. Whereas now, with all the new treatments, all the new research, I'm now on my fourth line of treatment, and the drug I'm on at the moment is working and has me in remission, and please God it stays that way. But yeah, it's obviously a very scary time when you hear you've cancer. And as you said, I was looking there, 44,000 people in expected this year in 2026 to be diagnosed in Ireland. It is scary for people. And that's why everything we're going to talk about today in terms of the Irish Cancer Society is so important.
You went on, you had your stem cell treatment, which is real cutting edge stuff, where they do a little bit of work and they put the stem cells back into you. Yeah. I know I'm being very glib in how it works, but it worked and got you to remission. But just as you got that news, Elaine found out something.
Yeah, the stem cell was a tough part. As you said, you do the harvest. A month later, you go in and you're in basically kind of ICU for a month. The kids can't visit you, etc., because of the infections. That was a really tough time. And then 100 days after that, you do a test. They check your bone marrow. And again, the news you're waiting for is, right, we have this under control now. You're in remission. So brilliant news. I was like, right, okay, this is great. And normally you get about 10 years from your stem cell. That's what I've been told. Mine came back 18 months later, unfortunately. But in the same week, roughly, when I got told I was in remission, I'd gone away. My mother was in Spain. I'd gone over to bring her home, if you like, for a couple of days. And we'd had a lovely couple of days together. Elaine picks me up at the airport, says, right, I need to stop the car and tell you something. So unbelievably, while I was away, she had found a lump herself. It wasn't through the screening program. And I suppose because of what I'd been through and the fact that I'd done my checks, she went and got it checked out and they'd come back that, yeah, you have breast cancer and your treatment needs to start straight away. So again, another massive, a kick to the stomach, if you like, for
that must have been so hard for her to tell you, given that you'd just gone through it. You obviously switched to supportive mode, but she was probably, she must have been really conflicted.
Yeah, luckily, her sister Caroline has been a massive support, and her friend Maura were around. They went into the hospital while I was away to get the news, because when you get the phone call and they call her in, she knew herself. But again, thank God she caught it early. And again, with a lot of the cancers, if you catch it early and you go to your GP, etc., she caught it early and she went through such an aggressive year of treatment. They really kicked the crap out of it, excuse me, French, but they really did. And then even when she thought she was done, I think it was 18 consecutive days she went over to Beaumont for an extra blast of treatment. And thank God she's fully clear now and she is back at work full time. But it just shows the importance of getting these things checked early.
You were told 18 months after you were told you were in remission that it was back.
Yeah.
Was being told the second time any different?
Yeah, it was much tougher. I wasn't expecting it. Again, I remember ringing my sister and telling her, and I couldn't believe it myself, because I was feeling good. Funnily enough, I was down in Galway for my treatment that Wednesday, and I talked about, is there any chance I can come off this maintenance drugs, because I'm doing really well, I'm feeling great. And that was going to be the next chat. Will we just come off these drugs? And Colin is now in remission, he's fine. And I literally drove back. I just arrived back in Dublin and I got a phone call from the nurses to say, listen, your bloods today are not good. The myeloma is definitely back in the blood. So I couldn't believe it. But again, I've learned since then, it's right. What's next? What's the next drug we can try? I tried another one. Didn't work for me. Tried another one. And that went pear-shaped altogether after 3 or 4 weeks. So thankfully, again, due to all the research and trial drugs and people putting themselves through these trials, there was a drug called teclistamab. And because it's such a new one, I had to spend a month in the matter to see if my body was able for it. And I picked up a thing called pancreatitis. Again, I'd never heard of it, which was a strange, painful thing that I went through. But again, that month in the matter proved that my body was able for this new drug. And I've been on that since last Easter. And thank God, as I said, that one is working for me. But hearing it the second time, long-winded answer, but hearing the second time was definitely tougher, because you're thinking, right, I'm in serious bother here now. This has come back. It wasn't supposed to come back. I'm young. The stem cell transplant was supposed to be the answer to everything, I thought, and when it comes back. But again, you need to go into positive mode. How do I beat this again the second time, and what is the drugs, and what do I have to do?
What role did the Irish Cancer Society play in this? Because you're proudly wearing your daffodil in studio with us here today, but where was your first interaction with them?
I suppose I have to call out, first of all, because I was dealing in Galway for the first year and a half, Cancer Care West in Galway were unbelievable with me. Any support I needed, from even as simple as parking my car down there, because the parking in that hospital is a nightmare, like most
parking
hospitals.
Parking in every hospital is a nightmare.
It's a nightmare, but again, stuff like that. But it was always the support there. We tried to raise a few bob back for them, but Cancer Care West was the first ones who rallied around me and offered me that support. And the stuff they do down there is unbelievable in Galway and the west of Ireland. But then when I came back up to Dublin, straight away my CNS in the matter told me about, are you interested in the driver support? Didn't know anything about it. And that's the one I've leaned on the most. So obviously Elaine is busy. She's working with three kids, going to different schools all over the place with sport. So just the fact that I can get a lift, a volunteer driver, And again, what they do, I think there was just under 30,000 drives given last year to cancer patients like myself and their families. So literally someone picks me up early in the morning, brings me in for my treatment, goes home or goes for a cup of coffee. A few hours later, I text them, I'm done, and they come back and bring me home. And that might sound like a small thing, but like it is just such a massive support. Like I think there's 1,800 people have put up their hands to do it. I don't think enough people know about it. And if more people put their hand up, then these other people would have to do, could do less drives. But I've met 30 or 40 amazing people that have picked me up over the different Thursdays and Fridays for treatment. And that is one of the, just one of the supports that the Irish Cancer Society has helped me with. And it's been huge for me.
Colin, you and Elaine, you've been through the ringer on this. You know, you've both been told you've cancer. You were told you've cancer twice. It would be very easy for people to let it in on them. But you strike me, and I'm presuming Elaine as well, that you just weren't going to let this happen. You leaned into this and you leaned on each other, did you?
Yeah, I suppose she was definitely my rock when I was sick. You know, she had to really look after me. Then first couple of months, I was in an awful lot of pain. I was on an awful lot of medication, but she was massive support, obviously. And then the roles were reversed a little bit where I was sitting next to her in the matter when she was getting her treatment. So it's a crazy story, but again, not unique. Lots of people, as I said, that the figures are there to be seen, the amount of people with cancer. But yeah, we've both helped each other out. And again, going back to the Cancer Society, stuff like the research that they do, the night nurses that are available for people, you know, if people are in their last days, the stuff, the support that's there in the evenings just to relieve the parents or the families of these patients is unbelievable. I've also had some, I didn't go down the counselling route. I didn't think I needed it. I didn't think my children needed it. But then last October, everything got on top of me a little bit. I was off work and I was finding it difficult at home. But again, I put my hand up, got some help around the mental health side of it. I got involved in the Movember stuff and I perked up again just by getting that bit of support. But there was counselling offer from the Irish Cancer Society, and just sitting down with someone and just talking through everything really helped me. So there's loads of supports there. But again, it's all bar 5% of it given by the government. It's all voluntary stuff.
People shaking buckets and selling daffodils, which is what they're doing this week. How much does soccer play in your mental health over the last couple of years? Because, you know, sport becomes irrelevant when you can't play it because you're too sick, but your head needed to concentrate on it. And I know you're still involved in soccer. Did soccer play a bit?
Yeah, again, I'm still heavily involved with St Mochta's in Clonsilla. I'd be the director of football up there. We're looking after 42 teams, a brilliant club, and they've brilliant support for me. But the football family in general, I came in here and spoke with John Duggan at the start of the season, and again, Brian Kerr was there. The support I've had from people like Brian, the whole football family, obviously I was involved with a lot of League of Ireland clubs. So, you know, they all rally around you, and it does mean a lot, you know, to help you. But it's probably what I found most difficult, because I had all these ailments and I wasn't able to go out for a jog or a swim or cycle or whatever, or do the stuff just for my mental health. I know how important sport is for young people and everybody's mental health, that get out for a walk or go for a jog or whatever it is. When I wasn't able to do that, that's probably what got on top of me. So again, thankfully, I'm now back to doing a little bit of coaching and helping where I can. But you're right, the football and the sport part of it, it's definitely been a huge help.
There are people listening right now who'll have had that conversation, possibly very recently. And they're doing the Dr. Google and they're trying to get on top of it. What advice do you give to someone who has received that diagnosis, or maybe received the diagnosis twice as you had in your case? What do you say to them?
Yeah, and it's interesting, again, when I got sick, people reached out to me who had multiple myeloma. So I went on some Zoom calls. There was a guy in America who'd been a former student in Galway in the same school I went to, and he was able to tell me, listen, I had myeloma, I'm now running a marathon. So you lean on other people's positivity. I did an interview there last week, and I had actually people reach out to me, a young man again, involved in football in Dublin, and he's just been diagnosed with myeloma. So I put myself in his, he's lying in his bed, he's worried sick, he's got young kids, the exact same situation and age as me. And I'd like to think I'm able to lean on him. I'm going to call over and see him. He's facing up to a stem cell transplant in a couple of months, so I know where his head is racing. So again, I just thought the most important thing is just, and it's not easy at times, you'll have tough days, but you have to stay positive. You have to trust the doctors and nurses. And you know, once you get into that system, it was tricky for me to start getting my diagnosis. But once I got diagnosed, and I didn't have private healthcare, I have to be honest, but once you get in that system, I've been looked after unbelievably well, both in Galway and in the Mater, and I continue to be.
Well, you've seen the good in people, And people have seen the good in you, Colin, because you're the man who's flying the flag on behalf of the Irish Cancer Society today. Flowers will be available throughout everywhere. You won't be able to move without daffodils being put in your face in the next couple of days. Your message, put the few bob in the bucket.
Yeah, absolutely. Every penny counts. And again, I went to Croke Park to the launch of Daffodil Day and I saw all the services. I didn't even know the Irish Cancer Society did it. I was blown away by the amount of things they're doing for people. But again, they need serious money coming in, and this is the big one, Daffodil. Everyone is going to be affected by it, unfortunately, at some point. So whatever you can do, buy a pin, buy a bunch of flowers on Friday. It massively helps everybody.
Colin Hawkins, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. I'm delighted to hear you're doing so well, and the best of luck to you, Elaine, and the family.
Thanks, John, and appreciate it.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.